Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Let's get this part of it out of the way first. Do you believe the Broncos under George Payton, his first offseason? Simple question. Was it a good offseason for him? Did he make a good first impression for you?
For me, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he addressed some issues that are legitimate. Things that you would look at. I've been a guy that has complained or been upset about kind of the quote-unquote lack of a complete roster, the depth on the roster. You know, and I know a lot of people will just look at, you know, they look at the roster and they think all they see is the starting wide receivers and go, oh, our roster is great, right? We got speed. There's just a lot more to it than that. So I thought there were some deficiencies. You saw him last year, especially in the secondary, with all the young guys that you were the young unproven guys that were, you know, undrafted. I'm not saying undrafted guys can't become great. Look at Chris Harris Jr. They can, but you know, I think there for every Chris Harris Jr. story, there are, you know, are 50, 100 free agents that don't make it. You know, so I just think that from a depth standpoint, from a accomplished player standpoint, and giving you the best opportunity to build, you know, a stellar defense, assuming that Von Miller and also Bradley Chubb are going to be healthy. Yeah, I think there's some weaknesses. I think they need better speed and athleticism at the linebacker position. They've got some young guys that they're thinking might be able to provide that for them, but we'll see. You know, how well they play, and I think the interior of the defensive line is a question. But I think they addressed what they had to address, and they got better on the back end. And I think that's kind of, you know, unlike in my day, I think that's kind of where it starts. I think this, you know, defenses, the really good defenses seem to build from the back forward in today's game.
But you know how it works in today's game. General managers are ultimately defined by how they handle, how they address, how they fill,
mm-hmm.
how they fail at filling the quarterback position. And look no further than what happened to John Elway. First half of his run here, he was defined by being the guy that landed Peyton Manning. The second half of his run here, he was defined by he couldn't replace Peyton Manning. He failed with Paxton Lynch, and he failed with every other filling guy he tried to find.
Case Keenum, whoever else.
The list is long.
Right.
So that's what it is to be a franchise quarterback.
That's how he was defined. So ultimately, these GMs are defined by how they fill the quarterback position, right?
Yes.
So the fact that he chose not to go out and draft a quarterback when he could have, and instead chose to run it back with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, can you understand why some people feel already he's sort of, you know, he's lagging behind in the popular opinion when it comes to handling the most important part of his job, and that you can't give him a high grade for his first offseason because he chose really not to do anything special different at the quarterback position?
I completely understand the groupthink aspect of draft a quarterback, any quarterback will do, they're all going to be great. I get that. I get the way the league is working, and it's really become that, Mike, just because of the way the collective bargaining agreement worked, where, you know, if you want to be duped into believing that every one of the quarterbacks that gets drafted is going to be great because they were drafted high, like you're drafting guys that should be drafted in the third and fourth round in the first round. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he said something that was really interesting to me. We're talking about work in general. And he said, you know, the best time to hire somebody is not when you need somebody. The best time to hire people is when you find somebody that's really good. You know, and then you hire them and, you know, you find a spot for them. But he goes, when you're desperate for somebody to fill it, you'll just accept about anybody because you need to fill a role. And ultimately, you're giving it to somebody who's really either underqualified or doesn't want to do the job or whatever, right?
We're going to have systems.
It's not going to work out. And so the best time to hire somebody is when you don't need them. You know what Kansas City did? I'll praise Andy Reid. They went when they had a Pro Bowl quarterback that were winning and going to the playoffs at 11-5, 12-4 every year. And they went from the 20s up to 10 to get a guy that they didn't need. And his name is Patrick Mahomes. And how did that work out? Meanwhile, the Bengals, the Jets, the Cleveland Browns. I mean, how many quarterbacks did the Cleveland Browns go through? 20-some-odd quarterbacks before they finally found Baker Mayfield, and years of below mediocrity. I mean, I feel bad sometimes for Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas is one of the greatest players in the history of this league that won four games every year. I mean, it's sad what's happened to, you know, what that guy's career became. And he was great, and I know he loves Cleveland. I know he loved playing for the Browns and all that stuff. But, man, that's a hard deal. So I get it. I mean, I get the narrative out there, you know, that's been created, but I don't buy into that garbage.
Yeah, James Maryland, when he was on with us, said something that struck me. He said, well, you know, if they had drafted Justin Fields, at least it'd be interesting, exciting.
Right.
Do you realize how many teams have bought into that idea over the last decade? Just draft a quarterback. It's fresh. It's exciting. The potential gets fans excited. Okay, but what's the goal here? Is it to excite your fan base or is it to win football games? And George Payton signed on for 6 years. I got no choice but to, as a fan of this team, but to trust that this guy knows what he's doing. And the fact that he could have had Justin Fields, could have had Mac Jones, chose to pass on both of them. I got to believe that this guy wasn't looking at it from the standpoint of what do I want to do to excite my fan base?
Right.
It's more, what do I want to do? How do I evaluate these guys to bring in the kind of players that can build the next great Bronco team? So I'm going to choose. It's up to you out there as Bronco fans, but I'm going to choose to believe the guy that this was the way, this is the motives, this is the mindset he's using to approach the team, and he's not looking to just excite people. He's looking to win football games. Because you know what? Great. You draft Justin Fields. Excites everybody. Everyone's excited. Everyone looks forward to going out to training camp. Everyone looks forward to watching the kid play. And then guess what? What if he can't play? What if he's like the overwhelming number of young quarterbacks who've been drafted in the last decade, high up in the first round, who fail? Who just flat out fail? What if he turns out to be one of those guys? How long does that excitement last?
Not very long.
It's gone. What are you left with? It still comes back. You got to win football games.
Yeah.
And this is the way the guy is going about trying to win football games. Now, that said, yeah, don't think I'm letting him off the hook, because he is, in my mind, he still is going to be defined by his ability to figure out the quarterback position. So what is his plan? We'll tackle that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So kind of chopping up the off-season that was for the Broncos now that they've got this month-long break before they kick off training camp. Was it a good off-season? Was it a productive off-season? What kind of observations, takeaways, impressions did you come away with over the many months of this off-season? Let us know. Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. For many people, I get it.
completely. It all centers around the quarterback. And George Payton, to me, Mark, acted like a guy who knows he's got a six-year deal. And he wasn't going to, I guess, be bullied or panicked into making a move at quarterback. You look at the Bears, okay? Look at the Bears. Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, they failed with Mitch Trubisky. And they were staring at this year being probably, you know, you got to win or you're gone type year. They move up, they draft Justin Fields, and the overwhelming opinion around the football world is they bought themselves 2 years. So that to me, and I think we see a lot of these quarterbacks get drafted early, in part because you've got franchises, general managers, coaches on the hot seat. And what does drafting a young quarterback do? Especially for the GMs. Especially for the GMs. It buys you time. It's job security. So to me, Peyton, who already had job security, looked at it and said, I'm not going to take a quarterback just because I have to save my skin.
Let me ask you to speculate. What do you think the mindset of George Payton was coming in here? Remember, he called this place a sleeping giant. A lot of people thought that that was a reference to the roster that was currently constructed. I don't happen to feel that way. I happen to feel the way that it's history. It's the only mountain time slot in the NFL. And when this franchise is good, this franchise gets the lion's share of the national afternoon games, and like you got a chance to compete with kind of quote unquote the big boys. You get a chance to sit at the big boy table. That's what I think the sleeping giant aspect was. And understanding that if you're going to be competitive in this division, you're probably not going to out quarterback somebody with a rookie quarterback. You're going to have to build a really good football team and then hope you find that guy. But I would ask you, what do you think the mindset was of not drafting the quarterback by George Payton? He is a big-time scout, by the way.
I was just going to go there. I think this – what did we – how was this guy sold to us? This guy is a tireless worker. He grinds. He loves to put in the time.
Great evaluator of talent.
Loves to look at the film. Loves to break everything down. This is a guy who comes into this job with a scout's mentality, mm-hmm. an evaluator's mentality. And I think for him, it's very black and white. I think he looks at it. He puts his work in. He does his evaluations. He comes up with his grades. He puts his big board together. And he's not going to bypass a player or players that he has a higher opinion of after all that work and all that evaluation. Mm-hmm. Again, that scout's mentality just to reach for a quarterback who he doesn't think is as good. Look, that's what for those who wanted Fields or those who wanted Mac Jones, I think if this guy really liked him, he would have drafted him.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he did his evaluation. This is why he was hired, because he has that as his strength. So what? You expect him in his first draft to turn his back on that? Everything he knows? Right. And to draft somebody who he doesn't have rated as highly? That makes no sense.
Here's what I would say. And I understand, and D-Mac talks about this all the time, and I'll give him credit for this. There is a premium on that position. Right? There's a premium on finding a quarterback. There's a premium on that position. And I completely agree. But here would be my difference. As an evaluator, if the scale is, you know, 1 to 10, and you've got Surtain at a 9.8, meaning can't miss, proposition, going to multiple Pro Bowls, going to be that good. And then you've got, you know, and you're just doing this based on just the film and just the way the guy plays and everything. You've got the quarterback at, let's call him a 7-7. Okay. Do you bypass a potential Hall of Famer, potential multiple Pro Bowler, a starter for the next decade, for a guy that you're like, odds are the guy's going to be, you know, one of those three-year guys that all of a sudden we're not picking up the option on? Like, now I understand if one guy is evaluated at 9-8 and you've got a quarterback that's a premium and he's a 9-2, then you're like, well, wait a minute, we got to have a quarterback, right? That might be enough to, you know, trump the 9-8. And I don't know what the evaluation numbers are. I'm just saying that there comes a point in time where you can't bypass somebody that has that potential, that is that good pre-draft, you know, based on film, based on evaluators' grades, to go after a quarterback just because there's a premium on him.
Four Down Territory is coming up. What are we to make of Aaron Rodgers re-upping at his Green Bay Golf Country Club?
Ooh.
Is it a sign that he's ready to crawl back to the Packers?
Stop it, Aaron!
That's next.
And he's loose!
This is Four Down Territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
You know, me personally, I'm going to be on, you know, about six plane rides during the break and plan on doing work on the plane with the computer, plan on doing work wherever I'm at when I have downtime. So we want everybody to get recharged, get refreshed, but, you know, I'm sure they'll all be thinking about it and doing some stuff along the way.
Yeah, congratulations to Vic Fangio. His son is getting married here coming up in July, so he's going to be busy doing some stuff there. So congratulations to Vic and his family. But it is the true offseason.
Right.
Bronco players, coaches get the next 5 weeks off. As a player, what? How'd you approach this time? Did you like it? Were you able to relax?
No. I was getting locked in for the grind ahead. Good news is Vic Fangio is going to be opening up that computer, working on that thing. I have this vision of him in the, you know, on the plane with like an old Commodore 64, big old tube TV screen, you know,
AOL dial up.
Yeah, we're just over there, like, you know, right here.
Just pounding away on the keys.
Just pounding away on the keyboard.
Peck, 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 peck.
Just playing, you know, when he gets tired, he's just going to play an Atari game.
Yeah.
Pong. Doink. Boink.
Doink. Oh, do I want to look at more Drew Lock film or play Doink. Solitaire?
Yes.
Doinks.
Yeah.
Next. Hey, listen, let's be honest, okay? Around the NFL, for owners, general managers, coaches, over these next 5 weeks, they're just hoping they don't get the late-night phone call saying one of their players have been arrested.
Yes.
Seriously.
That's what it comes down to.
Because if you're an NFL player, this represents your big break, right? I mean, you got this is get out, relax, cut loose, because once you get into camp, you are straight through till the end of the year. Next. In Four Down Territory.
Second down.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
So, Aaron Rodgers' membership at a Green Bay country club has been renewed, fueling speculation that maybe there is a thawing going on between the Packers and Rodgers. Do you take this as a sign?
No. He renewed his deal through the end of the year. But, I mean, come on. How much can it cost to renew a Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin country club fee? You know, hey, it's $2,800, but you have to spend $80 in food charges a month. Otherwise, like, you know, hey, it's going to come out of your check regardless.
Tell me about Aaron's
going to be okay.
You know, that a lot of times these things are done on auto-renew, so maybe he just auto-renewed. He wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. How much? See, I try to look up how much it costs to be a member of the Green Bay Country Club, and you've actually got to call in or fill out your stuff on the internet and send it in.
Oh, really? They don't give you like a...
They won't tell you what the fee is.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that as a sign that the two sides are ready to kiss and make up.
Yeah, it could be total. How many times you get on your like emails, like all the auto-renew for Dropbox and all the other things, you're like, huh, I didn't even know I was on that. Oh, well, I got Dropbox.
And you know what? Maybe Aaron Rodgers just is like, hey, you know, it's a place. They've been good to me. I like the people there, and I just want to continue to support them. Doesn't mean I'm going to go play there anytime soon. Or anytime at all. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
2x2 set. Breeze under center here. Handoff will go to Kamara off left tackle. It's a big seam across the 40 to 25. Yes! Cuts outside. 15, 10, and touchdown. Alvin Kamara walks it across the goal line 40 yards. And the Saints with a touchdown on their opening drive.
Saints radio. Alvin Kamara named as NASCAR's first ever growth and engagement advisor, a sport that he has embraced, enjoys, and now they've carved out a role for him where he will, quote, work directly with NASCAR leadership on strategic planning and creative opportunities that support its fan development efforts. Huh. You've talked to Alvin Kamara before.
Yeah.
Did you know he was such a big NASCAR fan? Did you guys chop it up?
No, I did not.
About the 24 car?
No, did not realize that. But I will say this. Alvin Kamara is one of those guys that is totally dialed in, really intelligent, very self-aware, very aware, and very prepared. So when you talk to his coaches about just the way he approaches the game, I'll take it a step further. I followed him the last time in the last season of Ballers. I followed him after he shot some stuff on the set the day before, and I was in the next day. And the producers raved, like, about he knew every line, had practiced, had rehearsed, was ready to roll, like, no nonsense, no, unlike, you know, yours truly, we don't have to play. He was completely prepared, unlike me, completely unprepared. So that's that little Alvin Kamara, you know, just who he is as a player.
Well, smart move by NASCAR, too. I mean, they clearly probably would benefit from building their fan base, make it a little bit more diverse. Just good for business.
Yeah, sure.
So
making it younger, more diverse.
Yeah,
all that.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Well then, Peyton. In the name of the Papa, the Dicka, and the 46 defense, I baptize thee into this Italian beef juice and out as a Bears superfan.
So the Chicago Bears made headlines recently with news that they've placed a bid on the Arlington Heights International Racecourse, where the expectation is that they'd build a new stadium. Well, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who is a big Bears fan, did not like that, issued a statement criticizing the Bears for trying to play negotiation shenanigans because the Bears want to try to get renovations done at Soldier Field, which has been their home since 1971. So she called out the Bears, said, quote, "This is clearly a negotiating tactic that the Bears have used before. As a season ticket holder and longtime Bears fan, I am committed to keeping the Chicago name in our football team. And like most Bears fans, we want the organization to focus on putting a winning team on the field, beating the Packers finally, and being relevant past October. Everything else is noise."
Wow.
Wow. Hey, Bears fans.
Yeah.
Or, hey, Bears. Don't worry about building a new stadium. Figure out how you can beat the Packers.
Gee whiz, willikers. Pretty harsh. She's a big sports fan.
Apparently.
I mean, what? So they're talking about moving out of
Soldier Field,
building a new stadium. I mean, you think you're not taking the Chicago name with you if you move into the burbs like everybody else does? Move into the burbs and build a whole complex. Like the Cowboys and...
Well, the Bears are locked into a lease at Soldier Field until 2033.
Oh. All right, so they're just trying to get it refurbished.
Yeah. Give us some, you know, city money, refurbish it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we may look to move.
Mm-hmm.
Out to Arlington Heights.
Arlington Heights Bears.
I don't know. What's Arlington Heights like? I have to get Mike Kliss on.
Yeah.
He's a Chicago guy.
I'm sure it's
beautiful. He's a Chicago guy. Baptize him in, what was it?
Beef juice.
Italian beef juice. Ah, the Bears. Okay, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. Does he think George Payton deserves a passing grade, maybe even an A grade, for his offseason? He'll join us next. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 insider. He's presented by ROX, Rock's Heating and Air. Good morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, Troy. You know, we've been kind of chopping it up about the overall evaluation of the Broncos off season. So, you know, if you were kind of giving a grade out and you were kind of looking over the off season and what George Payton has done and the moves they have made as a franchise, what kind of grade are you giving them?
I mean, I give them a solid B because of the uncertainty of quarterback and the idea we don't know if the quarterback play will be functional. It can't go much higher than that for me. Defensively, they are much better on paper with their secondary. The secondary should be a top five secondary, again, if the offense is functional and isn't trailing in games. But I like what they did defensively. Offensively, they're still young, and they're in prove-it mode. And they got more athletic in the draft through special teams. They've addressed some issues they've had, Mark, but because of the uncertainty of who their quarterback is going to be, it can't be higher than a B for me.
So what do you think George Payton's mindset is? What do you think his plan is when it comes to the quarterback position? Because even for a guy with a 6-year contract, Troy, he's been around long enough to know as a GM, you're defined by how you address and fill and figure out your quarterback position, right? So what do you think his grand design is?
Well, it's interesting because when he talks about draft and development, that is directly linked to his time in Minnesota, where they led the league essentially in second contracts, did amazing work in the draft. But they won with a lot of different quarterbacks, and they bombed on a few, including Christian Ponder early in the draft. So they won in Minnesota with a multitude of quarterbacks, which I know Bronco fans don't really want to hear at this point. But I think his thinking is if they had to go to, you know, they go to the post with Bridgewater or Locke, especially Bridgewater because he knows him, they could be a playoff team that way. I mean, I think it would be right on the number. You know, they're favored to win 9 games right now with the odds. But I think his thinking is we could get through this season with this defense. It does give Vic Fangio a chance to be successful. He's being fair to this coaching staff. And then if Rodgers becomes available, they would be nimble enough. I don't know how long they would wait if, let's say, this thing goes to September or late August. I would still do it, but I could then understand the reservation of bringing a guy in that late in the process and trying to hit the reset button. But the thinking would be they're good enough on paper to have a winning record and compete for a playoff spot with where they are right now. I know Broncos country is kind of rolls their eyes at that because of the number of quarterbacks since Peyton Manning, but I think that's where they think they are right now based on Bridgewater's past and the fact Locke has made improvement since last offseason.
I think my overall sense is a lot of people give George Payton a critical grade because he didn't address the quarterback in the draft. So you gave him a solid B. Let me ask you this. If he would have taken Justin Fields as opposed to taking the cornerback, would your grade change for the job he did this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I would have given it an A-, but I say that with the fact I was more bullish on Justin Fields than most, apparently. I see Justin Fields as a guy who can beat Dak Prescott. Like, if that's his ceiling, you're a playoff team. And I'm not, I don't know if it would happen his first year. It did for Dak, but I watched almost, I think, every one of Justin Fields' starts in college. He's athletic, he's fast, he's a big arm. You know, I guess there's questions about, you know, how he could handle criticism and this and that, whatever. I just saw Dak Prescott, and Dak Prescott to me is, whether you say he's the 8th best quarterback or the 15th best quarterback, he's certainly in the upper half. So I would have given him an A- with Justin Fields, even if he didn't play this year. I guess that was my argument. And again, I get it. I'm not the GM. But you could take Fields. He doesn't play. Say you keep Bridgewater. Bridgewater plays the whole year. You move on from Bridgewater, and if you blow out the staff, you've got Justin Fields sitting there. Then you're not hamstrung going into the draft. But the counter argument to that, which has become way more realistic in the NFL the last 2 years, is there's going to be veteran quarterbacks available. That never happened previously, where you had legitimate, proven quarterbacks available. So you could say, hey, we're not taking Fields because we feel like maybe Deshaun Watson's things, there'll be resolution. Maybe Russell Wilson's back available. I mean, that's where you could argue with me that I don't want to waste the pick on Fields because I think we're going to make a run at a proven quarterback. Okay, yeah. I would have taken Fields.
Yeah, and Troy, am I overanalyzing this? Am I making too much out of this by maybe oversimplifying the idea that, hey, here's George Payton. He's a scout at heart. He's an evaluator. This is a guy who loves to do his study of players, come up with a grade. I got to believe that if he really liked Justin Fields, if Pat Surtain was a, to use Mark's argument from earlier, if Pat Surtain was a 9-7 and Justin Fields was a 9-3, because of the quarterback, the importance of the quarterback position, he would have taken Fields. So don't we look at the passing on Fields and I guess Mac Jones as just, hey, this is George Payton. He did his due diligence and he just didn't feel that those guys were as good.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair because he puts in the work. He was out there. He was scouting him. He liked everything I was told. He liked Trey Lance a little better than Fields. And if Lance were available, they probably would have taken Lance. Lance was not available. So he didn't. You just nailed it. He saw Surtain as the best defensive player on the board. They liked Justin Fields, but they didn't like him enough to not take Surtain. And again, that's fair. That's, you can take the dance steps and follow him through on that. Again, the problem is at quarterback, it's the great multiplier. If Justin Fields is above average, he's worth more to your team than a great cornerback. That's the risk. That's the gamble of the NFL. If you have the 15th, 16th quarterback, that's more valuable than any cornerback. I'm sorry. He just is. This is like a starting pitcher in baseball. You have a guy who can give you 200 innings and he's your third starter. He's more valuable than your right fielder. I mean, that's just the nature of the sport, the way the sport works. So we'll see. Again, I trust the process he went through to grade him. They weren't flipping coins in there. They were very convicted on taking Surtain. And Surtain, if you ask me who the best players their offseason have been, it's Roll Tide. It's Pat Surtain, and Jerry Jeudy. So, you know, you can't say, oh, man, Pat Surtain doesn't look the part. He looks everything about the part. It's just, until they answer the quarterback position, the Broncos are always going to be a team where you look at them and go, eh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about them until we see consistently good to above average quarterback play.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and we'll see exactly what we get. Hey, Troy, thanks, man. We appreciate you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. I guess the question I would throw out to everybody is, do you wish that George Payton, do you want him to be a guy who is a strict evaluator and he's going to go in the direction that his evaluation and the grades tell him? Or do you want him to be a guy who says, I may have these three or four players that are ranked higher, but I recognize the importance of the quarterback position and it's a gamble worth taking, even if I don't have that player rated as highly?
I think that there are times, like in anything in life, any walk in life, where you got to roll the dice. You got to take a calculated risk, a calculated gamble, if you will. But that said, I think you have to you have to trust the work that you've done and trust the philosophy that you have. Say what you will. I mean, whatever it is, I believe that it's important to understand what you are, what you believe in, and then do your damn best to adhere to it. And at least to me, you're not, you know, cast from wave to wave, shore to shore to whatever. You know, you're just kind of listless in a boat waiting for the next wave to take you wherever you go. I believe that you need to understand what you are and who you are, and you've got to build football teams that way, just like you build in your life.
If you're a Bronco fan and you're here in Broncos country, I get it. For 5 years, you've been watching just bad football, and you've been watching quarterback after quarterback. I can see why, as a fan base, as media, you're at a point where you're like, time to roll the dice, right?
Right.
I get that. But now try to put yourself in George Payton's shoes. You have come from a scouts, evaluators background. Your stock rose as a future GM because of your scout and evaluation background, mm-hmm. reputation. You are pursued by the Broncos and other teams. You choose to go with the Broncos. You're given a 6-year deal again, and you are presented to your new fan base as, this is a guy who knows how to evaluate talent. Man, if I'm George Payton, armed with that kind of background, that kind of confidence, that kind of reputation, and a 6-year deal, why am I going to come in and immediately turn my back on everything I know, everything that I'm good at, everything that I am told I'm good at, and all of a sudden take chances?
Right.
And why would I do that?
And everything that you believe.
Right.
Like your whole process of becoming a general manager was based on your ability to evaluate. And Troy Rank said it. There's nobody in the National Football League that has drafted and developed better than Minnesota when it comes to all the second contracts that have been signed. Remember, like, we talked about it with Elway. Other than Von Miller, nobody hit a second contract. No draft pick until Bowles. And it went Von Miller, and then it went Bowles. Is drafted guys to get a second contract. Now, you know, for all you staunch, well, you just hate Elway, and you're no, it has nothing to do with personal feelings about John. I love John. John is a wonderful human being. John did a phenomenal job playing, and all those things. But the bottom line is, you're either, if your guys aren't worthy of second contracts, you're either what? You just don't like to sign second contracts, or you drafted players that didn't pan out the way you thought they were going to pan out.
I'm going to compare George Payton with Ryan Pace in Chicago. Ryan Pace, I'm sure when Ryan Pace took over as the general manager of the Bears, he came in like, hey, I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I can evaluate talent.
Sure.
And he picked Mitch Trubisky. Flopped. Failed. That's got to lead to a bit of a crisis of confidence if you're Ryan Pace. And now you're in a position where your job's on the line. You're on the hot seat.
Yeah.
People want you gone. So how much of the drafting of Justin, how much was the trading up and drafting of Justin Fields strictly based on 100% just rock solid evaluation of this guy, and how much of it was, I got to save my job. And I'm at the point now in my career as general manager of the Bears where I got to take a chance. I got to roll the dice.
Right.
Come on. You know that factored into it. You know that factored into it. You've been around the Bears
right.
enough to know that Nagy and Pace are both on the hot seat.
I think here's the other thing. Like, look at the difference in the quarterbacks you picked. One came from a traditional basketball school in Trubisky, who's a phenomenal athlete, who only played only started, I think, 13 games over the course of his college career, right? The other guy came from a traditional football school, the Ohio State, that produces tons of NFL talent. And how many years did that guy start? A couple of years of starts, playoff games, you know, all the things that he's done. So I think from the evaluator of talent standpoint, you took a flyer, like a lot of teams do, on the potential of the athleticism of Mitch Trubisky, and you got caught with your pants down. Didn't work out. And you moved up from 3 to 2 to grab him. This one you've moved up, but it feels like a completely different kind of structure when you're talking about, as an evaluator, what you're actually evaluating. Well, it's not so much the potential, it's the production that you actually
sure,
value.
Sure, you have more that you can lean on there to justify doing what you did. But I still think there was some self-preservation that went into that move.
Oh, I don't think there's, hey, listen, you're not going to get any argument.
I mean, if you've got a brand new general manager in Chicago, I doubt they do that. I doubt they make that move. I doubt they move up that much.
Right. Again, it just depends upon how you, because different evaluators, as you know, will evaluate guys differently based on their opinion, based upon the film study they do, based upon what they like, what they dislike, all those things.
Yeah.
And the systems that they want to run.
Systems. Ah, we love our systems. God, you need to have good systems in place.
We're going to have systems.
Yeah, if you don't have systems,
you're done.
Yeah.
It's the foundation of everything you do. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.